Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And I am Will Bluewater. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio for the 10th of December. You know, I never say what date it is, because these shows will hang around on the internet for 14 years. What's the point? But anyway, we were talking with Grandmother Dawn Skyweaver in July. And I think she's had a project or two since then. She probably wants to tell you about, or whatever pleases her. She has the floor.
Greetings. Are you ready for me to speak?
OCO, OCO. You have to forgive me. I'm just not. I mean, I even scheduled the wrong person for the program tonight. And Mac called. No, that's not. You know, and I went, oh my gosh, and we had talked about putting her in
Kimberly. And but yeah, just yeah, we want to know what you've been doing and what kind of effect it's been having.
Actually, I don't know how many people know, but we're going to working on another elders gathering. Those of you who knew Jacob Wayawati and I did this a few years ago and had not been able to pull it together again. But the ancestors had their way, and they did brought forth in on it. The interesting piece of all this is to say now is the time. Things happen in the moment that they're supposed to happen. And this has been, it was supposed to happen October the 6th, but I've watched the ancestors and creator as Solomon Wayawati had a stroke. And, you know, his brother died from a stroke and so did his sister. However, he was back out of the hospital and home within 5 days. It was really an amazing thing. Forrest, who is my co-facilitating with me, fell off a ladder in the building that we're planning to have the gathering and broke his body up in 8 places, coded twice, and was brought back, and he was out of the hospital within 6 days. And I'm saying those things to you as I watch myself. You know, I'm a world traveler, and I have not been able to get away from Georgia, and we understand, and I want to make sure that everybody understands, you know, there's a point in time when the answer you do still. I'm a hollow bone. So as far as we agreed to be a hollow bone many years ago, and being a hollow bone means that when it's time to do a certain thing and the ancestors are wanting you, you agreed to do it. Now, I thought I agreed to move around around the world as I have been doing, but however, I was set down also so that it allows for the opening, you know, that place where if I'm driving down the road a good 6, 7, 8 hours, a lot of me, I don't have that transference where even though I walk in two worlds and truthfully, most of the time I'm walking and I've got my 1 foot in one world and the other one in the other world.
Yeah.
When they need you, and we had decided that this has a big to do with why we're have been slowed down, and I'm a snail pace here, so we can hear, so we can listen, so we can create what needs to be created for the gathering that is coming up. The theme is interesting because it's looking back while walking forward and up. The animal theme, I don't know how many of you know that North America was home to the mammoth. And so Grandmother Mammoth has joined this this gathering. I'm not, it is for the elders. However, we listen very well to the ancestors, and I know there will be young people there. And I know that there's so much to talk about. I don't know if how many know Kwame Sunhorse, Grandfather Kwame Sunhorse. He sent me a note the other day saying we need to talk about the issues around us not respecting and accepting each other, regardless of what our DNA is. Allowing, you know, for that transparency to say that we are humans. Human spirits and not what everybody has categorized us as, you know, I'm Cherokee, Irish, African-American, Blackfoot, and German. And now you that's a pot of soup, right? A good pot of soup because the different parts of me come out at certain times. Most of the time I walk as a Native and African American, with that combination of not accepting or singling out any denomination or race or culture or whatever. I'm listening to the ancestors. I'm listening to the teachers that I have had over the years. And that is my walk. And we need to look at that. We need to look at how we respect one another. We need to look at how we hand the information off to those who are much younger than we are. And, you know, a big part of that is, you know, we hand it off and we let go of it. We don't try to control it. All we do is give the information, because what they're going to do is tweak it, and tweak it in this time. They're going to tweak it so it can go forward and go and be tweaked within the next generations in front of us. Now time, you know, we came a long journey. Believe me, I came a long journey. I don't know about some of the other elders, but I've walked a long journey, and I touched on many lands, and I've had an opportunity to be a grandmother of the nation of Waitaha. I'm a grandmother within the circle of the grandmothers who circle the earth, and that's just a few of the little things that I have learned and have become a part of and have integrated into my walk, so that I could serve all people, regardless of who they were and where they were in this world. So I'm not putting out an invitation. It is by invitation, and I'm sure that if there's someone who really is supposed to be there, Creator will make sure, and the ancestors will make sure that they are there. But what I'm putting out tonight is to say that connect, you know, put your energy string, honor that pathway, you know, that we get it right and that we pass it on, so that those who do show up, who are younger than us, can work with us and receive whatever knowledge we have to give. And other piece of that is tweaking in the moment, you know, because we don't all have the whole answer. I, you know, was with some of the Standing Rock people up at the UN in New York. I go there to the UN every year for the Women's Conference. And one of the things I recognized, they're talking about, yes, we have problems. You know, some of us have mental problems. Some of us have problems with drugs. But we are ready to help each other to make a difference, to be able to take on the baton and to be able to walk forward and tweak it so that it is ready for their children and the children in front of them and the children in front of them and on and on and on. Personally, I like to walk out for 6 generations, which will give me 1,000 years. I realize that 7 generations is the call. So I always say 56 plus is my call. It's the call that I'm looking at. And we have no idea, I'm going to be sitting on a chair, rocking somewhere out there in the ethers and watching, you know, the 1,000 years in front of me, exactly what the changes are, what we were able to hand off, so that you don't have to create the past, you know, looking at the past. And what you will take on as in the present, so that you can go forward, you know, walking on into the future. Anyway, that's the project that I'm working on. You know, there's many things that I could say tonight. I think one of the things I do want to make sure that I don't forget is that when we pray, wish, dream, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, use love and gratitude together. because the two of them together outweighs love. The energy of love and gratitude together going to make a difference. And the second thing I want to say ain't about them. You know, we have to remember they're pot stirrers. They're waking up our visions. We're seeing what they have done in the past. We're seeing what they are trying to do here. But we're the decision makers. We're the ones that have to decide whether or not what is the name of that place out there in Utah? Bear Ears. What happens to Bear Ears? Because it's not what they do, it's what we do, what we will allow. And I heard today one of the people in charge of making that 85% back to the government happen say, well, they're not going to open it up for mining and so forth and so on. Well, the way we keep that from happening is being a part of what the decision is. We can't stand down. We have to stand up. We have to be a part of the decision. We have to decide what the decision is. You know, individually, everybody has a right, and we have to recognize that. Everybody has a right. Everybody has a right to choice. Now, the majority of us want to see that land kept in harmony. There are a few people who have already asked for rights to do mining. You know, how many of us are wanting to make sure that the land is taken care of well? We have to stand. We're the ones that have to stand. The mining people, they're not so many. You know, that's a company. Yeah, they have lots of money, but we have lots of energy, and we have the energy to send forth. When you're drinking your water, when you're walking near water, send the energy of love and gratitude, because that energy will enter into those crystals, and we are made of water, and it will go forth and forth. Anyway, I just wanted to I'm sorry, I don't want to take over the whole program.
Oh no, I was just agreeing with you, you know. Rolling Thunder. Rolling Thunder, he didn't say aho much, if I ever did. But every time he really every time he really wanted to agree with something, it was ho. You know, he was a character. He was a character. Yeah. Yeah. And so you tell us about Waitaha.
Waitaha? The nation of Waitaha?
Yeah.
Those are the people, that's a nation in New Zealand, tribe of Māori tribe. And
gotcha.
I'm one of their grandmothers. several years ago, I was initiated into being a grandmother there. I don't know if you know Mac Ruka, grandfather who has
Maki Ruka.
Over,
yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he was Waitaha. And I wandered around with him over his last years that he was here on Earth. And then after he left, I ended up making several trips. And in one of the trips, his family actually did ceremony for the name that I was given, which is Don Sky Weaver in English. It's Ahi Ahi Rani Fatu, or Rani Tweet. I'm sorry, Ata Rani Tweet. I haven't said the Māori for so long. But anyway, that was a whole different journey. Creator has been amazing to me. And the ancestors, you know, I said yes, and now guess what? there's many things that happen.
Creator's done me the same way. He said, yeah, it's what I went through is basically equivalent to the old gauntlet. I'll tell you. Yeah, it was some interesting stuff. I learned about politics, you know.
Oh, well. Yep.
Oh,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'll stop right there. I'll make the sign of the cross, and we'll send that evil word on its way. But anyway, jeez. Well, excuse me. It sure is nice to have a conversation. At least, you know, my wife's wonderful, but she's not an Indian. She's got Indian mm-hmm. blood, but it takes a while. You know, I gotta recant. Yes, she is, because she thinks like one. She just doesn't feel like one. Yeah, she's one of those folks. She just doesn't feel like getting out in the street and dancing, you know. And when she gets there, I'll say you're an Indian. So, but she's getting there. She's got well, you know what? You know, she's got really nice regalia. She's got I had her a custom Cherokee dress made. It's not a tear dress. It's Empire. And you know, with the bonnet, and it's just like the figure of the woman on the front page of the Texas Cherokees historical
mm-hmm.
book, and you know, you get the idea. And
I know.
And so you know, even if I got a barrier in it, you know, matter of fact, she said.
Well, the thing of it is called respect.
Sure.
You know, we the desire, you know, I remember Jacob saying to me one time that I really needed to learn Algonquin or French, and my saying to him, excuse me, there are many languages, and I'm not so sure that's what I want to do, you know. Because you can speak English, and when other people are speaking Algonquin, I just be quiet. If I need to know something, you will make sure that I know it. You know? Because there's so, you know, at least 360 plus views of anything, of everything.
Yeah.
Just imagine that. Imagine that multiplied, you know, by infinity. You know, I remember sitting on a porch with Jake, with two professors, and he threw his hat down on the floor, and he said, just look at this hat. And of course, he had a round hat. The brim is round. Anyway, it's the center. The center of everything, the center view, the center of everything. Okay, just look. And he says, now there's 360 degrees. There's 360 at least ideas. And I said, well, since I like to be in between lines, I'm going to say 360 plus. Of course, we all laughed at that. And we all agreed on that, because in actuality, there can be as many lines around that circle as possible. The possibility is infinite. So you put an idea out there, or you put a suggestion out there, it's infinite, because we're going to vary it. We're going to vary it in our own personal view. You might tell me something that might change my view a little bit, but it doesn't change it away from who I am when I am in total myself. It changed a little bit because you gave me some more knowledge. You allowed me to see a different view that I might not have seen had you not spoken. However, doesn't mean I have to adopt it, but however, I might adopt it. I might just tweak it into what I already see, or decide that I want to change what I see, or what my view is, what my thought process is, you know. So I just, you know, that just wanted, your dress brought out the concept of, well, if she doesn't wear it, fine. You're going to love her anyway, and I know that.
Oh, no. Well, hey, you know, if she didn't have fibromyalgia, she'd be out there out dancing probably everybody.
Oh, wow.
But
I know fibromyalgia, but, you know, and right now I'm learning rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, you know, and I'm more and more like her, you know, a lot less gregarious than I used to be. And because it was really circumstance that drove me over a lot of places. And I was told in 77 that my life would be something like the Dance of the Bee. And, yeah, you know, going everywhere, all over the place, and until you finally figure out, you know, where home is, and then you go right there. But you got to do the dance first. I guess it's a pretty good analogy for, you know, I guess what the Bible calls working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah.
Yep. Well, when you say you're a hollow bone, and I was actually out on a cliff in New Zealand when I agreed to do that. You know, one of the things about life is that if you listen very well, your directions will come. You know, I could laugh when I be traveling down the road thinking that I'm headed in one direction, and guess what? The car turns in another direction because that's the way I need to go. Don't have an idea of where I'm exactly going or who I'm exactly going to meet, but I get there at the very time I'm supposed to be there to meet that person. And whatever we're supposed to exchange amongst ourselves will happen. Life is, if we allow it to be. And there are times that we do that beast that I'm discussing is talking about, and we forget about that we're in a physical body. And that's one of the things why when you say fibromyalgia, you know, I danced around out there for the longest time with fibromyalgia. But when I came in and couldn't recover myself, I was going, something else is going on. So now they've added rheumatoid arthritis to it. So I've got to learn to balance the two of them and still do my work. But pretty much going to do my work. I'm not going to be out there on the road traveling anymore like I was. If I traveled, it would absolutely be by train or somebody's going to have to pick me up. But I'm not going to be out on the road like I was in the past because at my age, those two things, those two this ease, have, you know, made me think about what I need to do in order to be here another 20 years or so.
Yeah,
and that's the place I am, you know. Like, how do I protect my body? My son, I get home here he's not a vegan, but he's a plant. What's that, plant food, or he eats mostly plant food, very little meat. I've been all over the world, and believe me, eating up in the forest means that you eat moose, you eat deer, you eat this, you eat that. And so you over there in New Zealand, you're going to eat a lot of different types of fish and stuff like that people catch. And, you know, I have not been paying attention to my body. Now, I still will have me some deer. In fact, I just fixed some. And I'm still going to have plenty of fish, but I need to moderate that and eat more plants. And I understand that. I really understand that. Yes, you know, we have to, I have to. I'm going to suggest that everybody think about this, is that we are in a spirit in a body, and that body still has to be able to exist if we want to stay here. Otherwise, at some point in time, the body is going to get tired and diseased, and we won't be able to do the walk that we've done before. And sometimes that walk is not that you didn't, that you're no longer able to do, is because the path has just changed, and you need to walk this path because guess what?
I was supposed to be
supposed to take.
Yeah, I was supposed to be dead 33 years ago, but I never listened to them. It's probably why I'm still alive, you know. But I had an interesting upbringing. My dad was born in 1917, grew up during the Depression, and it was so funny. He used to talk about, oh, I wanted you to have everything that I didn't, and then when I got him, he was just jealous as hell. It was just he never grew up, and he was a great guy, but emotional wreck, you know. And he made, and mom was too, and you know, I'm bouncing off the wall between these guys, you know, forever. My older sister is injured in a car accident when she was 16, and she'd been a model and straight A student, and she was in a coma for 109 days and had learned that she's supposed to die five times. And you know, 1957, there was five catastrophic illnesses in our family at that point, you know, so I can understand why my dad was a little cynical, you know. And but he fought tooth and nail. And if I ever complained about I didn't feel love from him, you know, he made it real clear that the best way he knew how to show love was to keep us eating and fed, and you know, he just couldn't do the other. And but he was middle child, and it was a real laboratory for me to understand how families could work or not work. And it's real interesting. But his brother was a Navy captain, and went to the Naval Academy, and complicated family. Complicated.
You know what? They did the best that they could do. I mean, we all, I can look at mine and say the same thing. And sometimes I look at myself and say, I felt like I didn't do all that I could have. I did the best that I could do with my kids, and I'm doing the best that I can with my grandchildren and my great grandchildren. And that's all we can do, you know, because, you know, if I think about it, my mother, she had no role model, so she didn't know exactly what a mother, you know, or how to raise a teenager, or that middle-aged person. And there was 10 of us, and my dad was the only working person, so you can imagine in those years.
She was smart and daring. She was literally trying to reinvent the wheel. how to raise instinctively, and I think she did pretty damn good.
Well, I think she did too. I think she did very, very good. But you couldn't have told me that about 50 years ago, because I was still fighting.
Yeah.
You know, but you can tell me that now. She did very good. So we all did the best that we could, and
that's right. And
that's what we're handing off. You know, we're handing off the best that we can. We need to stop and try to stop the negativity around the fact, if I would, I should, I could, you know what I mean, and start saying that we're human beings, and humans are quite okay. We don't always get it the way we're supposed to. Oh wait, you know, that supposed to thing. Let me bring that in here. I've decided, you know, we have been structured. You know, the rules, the regulations, how you live, whether you were enslaved, whether you came across the border, whether you came across the ocean and took over the land, whether you were pushed into reservations or whatever. All the rules, the structure. So now we need to look at that structure, you know, not from the point of view of saying, well, they should have done this, they shouldn't have done that. It's done. It's a done deal. We cannot go backwards. We can only go forward. And so how do you tweak it? How do you tweak the structure that we are in? And what do you keep? You know, what's very important to you individually? And what's important to the collective from your point of view? So, you know, we have to recognize the fact that we did the best that we could. Our parents did the best that they in the,
That's right.
whatever structure they were in. It doesn't matter. They were in the structure where, you know, I came up with the flower children and there was drugs and so forth and so on. I didn't dance around with them too much, but believe me, I knew quite a few who were part of that group. Though, you know, they had a structure. They were taught a certain way. I mean, even if we look at Christianity and all the variations of religion or belief and faith, structured, there was rules, regulations that we were supposed to go under. And if you didn't do it, guess what? Somehow or another, within that structure, there was some sort of punishment or some sort of denial or some sort of put down, nothing that ever said, oh, you're doing the best that you can do in this structure. So I just, you know, I've been wanting to bring that word out to remind people that we have been on a structured path. I'm going to say, well, I actually can take you back to go back to the Bible. I was just trying to think of this, Sarah and Ruth, Abraham. I take you back to Abraham and tell you that it was structured then. I don't know beyond that, but I do know it was a structured society back then. And structure is important, but we need to restructure. And we need to look at what the structure is and whether or not it still fits within our belief and our faith and how we connect and relate to others, first within your family and then moving out towards the community and then out into the world and so forth and so on. All the relatives of Mother Earth, how are you relating to that? You know, everything is not going to clear up. And even though I really, really used to believe that, I believed that there was going to be a snap and everybody was going to get it. The answer is no. Everybody's not going to get it at the same time. The person who's supposed to get it is you. And when you get it, you know, who are the other folks that are similar to you? And how do you move, you know, within a structure where there are so many points of view? And we can do this. We've been doing it. We just have been, you know, doing the less than and greater than. He's greater than I am. She's less than I am. The disrespect, the lack of harmony, the lack of compassion. We've just been doing those things without thought. Because we have the definitions that were given to us as part of the structure. Now we have to look at that. So anyway, I just want, you know, you keep cluing me into things to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have this a bunch. Now, I'm surmising that the four-directional rainbow grandmothers is European-based?
Four-directional, no. Not European based; it's worldwide based. Actually, when you look at the grandmother, when you look at the grandmother circle, the earth, you got a little bit of us everywhere. Yeah.
I was just wondering where the original impetus comes from. I was just it just shows that I haven't done any research. I try to run it by the spirit, and I've been hearing about these organizations for quite some time, and We have a
Facebook page and a website, but the big thing there is I always forget about the website title, but Facebook is
okay.
Grandmother's Circle of the Earth.
And then you're
but there are other,
Grandmother's Circle of the Earth, and Susan Stanton was the first person to introduce me to that organization, and
that's right.
A lot of it,
and the Rainbow Grandmothers are part of that. You know, there's so many groups of grandmothers out there doing the work. Not all, you know, we're not all aware of each other. I know there's a group in Denmark. There's a group in New Zealand. We got I don't know how many different groups here in the States. We got our sisters out in Africa, Australia. So, you know, it's that we are aware of each other, and we work together. But we also work as individuals. I know it makes sense to you.
Yeah. Did you ever meet Rod Skinnendore?
No.
He just passed away. He was a close friend of Red Elk. I just spoke with him over the phone one time. I guess when Red Elk and I were first getting to know each other, he had Rod call, and he had this big booming voice. And he says, "Well, I just want you to know I've got my eye on you." And that was pretty much it. And he said goodbye.
Cool breeze.
So I gave you something to think about. But
yeah.
And Red Elk. And it's just been a hell of a lot of fun. It has. And I've stepped in some real horse dung situations, and but you know that happens. And when you're looking for your path, you're gonna step in some horse bucky. And you know, I did a couple of that. It's just
major
Southern Cherokee. Oh yeah, I was just you get taken in by people, and I mean I was the kind of person that if you would tell me something, I'm gonna believe you. I compare what you're doing to my meager database, and basically, if a person passes a sniff test with me, we can be friends. And but there have been some weird ones along the way. But that's a smile. And oh, geez, what can I say? So what are you going to be doing here in the near future? Just going to be hunker down for the winter, get ready to garden in the spring?
That's pretty much it. March, I'm headed out up to the UN. I'll be there for the women's conference, and then we're going to do a grandmother's gathering in New Hampshire right after that. I'm going to come on back in and then get ready for our the gathering in May, the elders gathering in May. As far as I'm concerned, that's in the flow, because as long as the ancestors are speaking and we move in their direction, everything is going quite well.
Yeah.
It's when we think we know, and I'm a dreamer, as you probably already know, that they speak to me a lot out
me
there
too.
At the medicine wheel, but many, many times in dream time, and I wake up and I've got to call this person and that person and say, this is what's come through, and this is what, and the direction we need to go. Because one of the things that I'm hoping with that in particular gathering is that we are able to be together in our many, 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 many ways. In other words, the first one that Jake and I did, we had people from or elders from all different backgrounds. And it was awesome. It was very awesome. But it was an opportunity, as Jake wrote a little note, which I have on this events page, where, you know, for this one, there's no agenda. You know, you have to, it's very hard to make an agenda when there are many things to take into consideration. And I got this message from Kwame Sunhorse, and he said, there's an item that he would like to put on a table. And now, 3 or 4 days later, I wake up in the morning and I'm going, oh, so we're going to split off into groups. And a group of us will talk about this, and a group of us will talk about that, and then we're all going to come together. I got it. because they'll wake me up and tell me many things.
You know, we're going to need here pretty quick, and somebody ought to fund is an old folks home just for people like us.
Yeah. I agree.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hmm. I would think it'd be wonderful myself, you know.
I've tried to figure out, you know, when I was in Crestone, I've had messages from Creator and all different kinds of, I've had, you know, voices or pictures or Rebus, which is every kind of way, and then, you know, trying to listen close to, you know, during the day. But this one message I got in 2006, it was like ticker tape. It was just red text, and all it said was, "You are to seek a grant for $500,000 for travel expenses for the elders to literally save the planet. ... More information follows. ...
Wow.
You know, what kind of, that was crazy. That's just crazy.
Wow.
And,
yes. It's not crazy. Oh. It's not crazy. No, it's not crazy.
And, you know, so you just sit and watch, and I mean, you know, anybody's familiar with the Bible knows that Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and these people knew of a prophecy, it was okay to try to help fulfill it, so that's, you know, kind of what I'm doing. I just watch. I look at trends and. I mean, there's some things going on right now that are, you know, if you want to, we could flip over into, you know, Bible prophecy. It's not your normal Bible prophecy. It's a little bit different. And it's just a different take on, there's a basic question of, and well, you know, if the Bible's reporting that a certain group of people are going to do something, you can't make assumptions about, the location or identity of any group of people that might descend from the Northern Kingdom. And, and then you gotta know, you know, who's talking about who, and, you know, you just can't go to Sunday school and you really got to get into it, you know? So I did for a period of time, and I did other systems, you know, justice too. And it's just my personal search, and because there definitely is a, well, if I ever go to synagogue or talk to a rabbi and I tell him about the linguistic similarities between Cherokee and Hebrew, they're just stunned.
Those are the things that we have learned. Go ahead.
But we got it from Keturah. That's who we got it from. That was Abraham's third wife, and if you go back and look at the Jewish text, like I did, like in the Zohar, you read that Abraham blessed the two sons that they would excel with herbalism and shamanism. Gee whiz, you know. And he didn't just, you know, he didn't send them away forever. He put them somewhere where he was close enough for him to go visit them every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, my deepest understanding of how, because, you know, our elders said that we migrated over here in boats, and we could actually date some things based on what the Hebrews were using during their period of time, at least the Hebrew sailors that were coming up from Cartagena. We knew what their word, you know, for God was. And
right.
we've always used the same one that the sons of Zadok, and we never changed it. So it's difficult. It's a strong argument. We can hold, you know, our own with an ethnologist or whatever, and argue successfully, and we're doing it, and a lot of people are waking up to it, and a lot of people vehemently. I'm talking about hardcore traditional women, wonderful people. I'm talking, these gals are, well, you know, there's one, you know, she's, there's a society in the Eastern Band, and they send young men out every year with vermilion to put on their palms to go into the caves and put that hand to
mm-hmm.
renew that. It's a renewal of covenant, you know. That's who she is. And but a lot of them, you know, I don't. But a lot of resonate with it. And I love them all. I love them all. You just, you know, all we know is what we were told. And thank heavens there's a lot of telling going on nowadays, because, you know, just 120, 30 years ago, they were assassinating people like you and me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely. I start seeing things and talking to those on the other side. I was a kid. Had I spoke to anyone, I didn't even talk to my mother about it. I enjoyed it, you know, and sometimes used it for different things. And as I got older, doing my years of nursing, you know, you just were quiet about it. I was glad to be quiet, because guess what? I would have been in a mental institution. You don't see things. You don't talk to the ancestors. You know, you don't hear voices. I know now that you have heard that voice. It's a distinctive voice. When you hear it, you look around and there's nobody there, but you're there. You need to listen, because it comes at you. That voice comes at you.
Until 1997, until 1997, when they, or thereabouts, when they rewrote the DSM-4 Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that's used by all psychologists, psychiatrists, and physicians. And but before that time, from what I understand, it was the first time that it had been assembled by a committee rather than just one guy. And but it made a carve out, cultural carve out for, you know, people that heard voices or reported dreams and stuff like that. Just as long, you know, the only time they would try to attempt any therapy was if the dreams and visions were causing the person problems in his life, you
problems,
know, he was scared, paranoid, you know, whatever, then they would deal with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, they just assumed it was normal, and that it was
which,
just a lot more reported among our people. you know, which goes, yeah. They finally figured out who we are.
Oh, yeah.
And it let us be. And, but anyway, but.
You know, yeah, I was raised Catholic, went to, graduated high school from a Catholic school. And I had to look back over the years and remember all the, mm-hmm. the different prophecies and so forth and so on that normal. You know, this is normal stuff, you know. And yet I was living that life as a child, you know. And, you know, and grew up with it. But, you know, I watched as a nurse. People go into mental institutions for two things. One, because they did not understand why these things were happening to them. And two, because the people around them didn't understand why these things were happening to them.
Yeah. Well, like their family member. Yeah. Yeah. It's sad, but you know, I think some folks are born a little bit more hardwired for it than other folks. It's not, you know, it's a spiritual gift, and you know, I suppose if you really want it, you know, you can attain it to one degree or another. And after a while, you know, just got to be warned, it becomes a pain in the butt. It's just like becomes any gift to become a burden after a while. And I guess that's the spice of life. But well, anyway, we got to run in a minute, so tell folks anything else they need to know. How to get a hold of you or anything?
Well, they can always find me on Facebook.
Yeah.
You can find me on Facebook. You can message me if you need to ask the question and if you need to find out any information. Marion Hartsfield. But if you put Grandmother Dawn Skyweaver, it'll show you Marion Hartsfield. Yep. Facebook played a big trick on me. Me to change my name, which is fine. I'm okay with that. So that is my best connection is the Facebook connection because it also, you know, if somebody messages me, I will get my to my phone. It'll come to my phone. Any questions anyone have either about the program, the elders getting together, like I said, it is by invitation. But we also know that Creator and ancestors are doing the invitation. So some people will be there that I might not know or so forth and so on, and that's fine. You know, it'll be what it's supposed to be. But yes, Facebook is going to be my best connection at this point in time.
Right. So, well, listen, you behave yourself.
I'm going to behave myself. So I'm going to end my message with love and gratitude. Love and gratitude. Love and gratitude. The energy of the two together is higher than just love alone.
That's right. Same to you. Well,
so that's
good night,
that's
everybody.
That's my ending. Good night.
All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. And you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
They have to kill us because they can't break our spirit. reality of freedom, the illusion.
There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aklava Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
A hot sun on the dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around. Out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live. To the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. Sparrow and the antelope,